Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today, we'll open with the latest news on a search for a missing woman with Alzheimer's in Julian. We'll tell you about opportunities to work at the polls on Election Day, and you'll hear about a partnership between the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Viejas Tribe to station helicopters in East County during this week's high wildfire risk. We'll also have news on why a judge has ruled that the county is violating the constitutional rights of children and their families with intrusive searches done at the county's children's shelter, Polinsky Center, on children over the last 10 years. You'll hear how quick action by firefighters halted an apartment fire in La Mesa, and we'll have news about an event that horse owners are invited to participate in to help benefit famous saddle maker Gary McClintock, a Descanso resident who has been seriously injured in a motor vehicle accident. Learn which East County Magazine journalists and show hosts have won awards from San Diego Press Club this year. Our newsmaker interview today is with Jerry Fazio, who is retiring as the executive director of the East County Boys and Girls Club after over 35 years with the organization. Jerry is known as an East County treasure, and he'll be talking about the many changes and accomplishments that the Boys and Girls Clubs locally have seen during his tenure. And for those of you in the nonprofit world, he'll also share some tips on successful fundraising. In our second half of the show today, our Green Scene Report will have news about a scientific study that suggests that people living near wind turbines could suffer hearing loss. We'll take you to the Hakumba Hot Springs Centennial Celebration and talk with the organizer about future plans for this historic town. Plus, on Destination East County, we'll tell you about all the most fun festivals and events coming up this week, from Art in the Park to a Vintner's Harvest Festival, a Fair Trade holiday sale, and a haunted train. We'll have all of these stories and more, so stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. A search continues for a missing 75-year-old woman with Alzheimer's disease who went missing from the Pine Zanita RV Park and Campground on Highway 79 on Saturday up in Julian. On Monday, the sheriff released new photos and asked the public to turn over any surveillance videos from homes and businesses in the area in hopes of finding clues. One surveillance video has revealed a possible clue, a person who resembles the missing woman. Search dogs and helicopters are now being used to track footsteps in hopes of finding Sally Estabrook. Estabrook's husband discovered she was missing after he finished taking a shower around 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The search has been going on ever since. On Monday, the search area was expanded to 5 miles around the campground. Dozens of sheriff's search and rescue volunteers have been joined by resources from Riverside and San Bernardino counties, as well as the Border Patrol's Search Trauma and Rescue Unit. Sally Estabrook stands 5 feet 4 inches tall. She weighs 145 pounds and has shoulder-length blonde hair. She may be wearing a teal top and white capri pants. Because she suffers from Alzheimer's, she isn't very communicative, but she may be responsive to her name. If you have seen Sally Estabrook or have surveillance video from the day she went missing, please call 911 or the Sheriff's Department at area code 858-565-5200. If you have a loved one who suffers from Alzheimer's or any other form of dementia, the sheriff encourages you, by the way, to register for the sheriff's Take Me Home program. This is a free and confidential database available only to local law enforcement agencies. It contains photos, crucial medical information, and special care instructions for people with Alzheimer's, children with special needs, and others who are likely to wander off. It helps to know during a search if the patient is nonverbal, doesn't want to be touched, or would only respond to a certain name, for example. To register for the free Take Me Home service, go to sdsheriff.net/TMH, as in Take Me Home. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Leon Thompson on East County Magazine with a public service announcement from the Registrar of Voters. The Registrar's Office is required by federal law to provide bilingual speakers and voting materials to voters who speak Spanish, Filipino, Vietnamese, and Chinese. A survey by the University of California, Berkeley, showed a need for speakers of Khmer, Japanese, Korean, and Hindi at about 20 precincts. So the registrar's office is also recruiting poll workers bilingual in those languages for the November 4th election. To become a poll worker, applicants must be a U.S. citizen and registered to vote in California or lawfully admitted for permanent residence in the United States. Poll workers must have transportation to their assigned polling location and will also need access to the internet to take an online training and attend a two-hour class. All poll workers receive a stipend ranging from $75 to $175, depending on the assignment, and those who are bilingual receive an additional $15 if they are assigned to provide language assistance to voters. Prospective poll workers can apply online at sdvote.com. For more information, call 858-565-5800 or email pollworker@sdcounty.ca.gov.
The threat of wildfire this week is high, prompting multiple fire agencies into high alert. To better protect our region, the Bureau of Indian Affairs has moved two of its firefighting helicopters from Northern California to the Viejas Indian Reservation in Alpine, pre-positioning them for quick response as the wildfire threat increases across Southern California. Chief Don Butts with Viejas Fire Department provided additional details.
The Viejas Fire Department, the Viejas Band of Khmer Indians, is really proud to be able to host the two helicopters from the Bureau of Indian Affairs here at the reservation, particularly with the upcoming Santa Ana event and during our drought conditions, when conditions are really severe, these two additional resources would be valuable in the event of a fire for our region.
The two helicopters, which can drop water buckets and firefighting crews, will remain at the Viejas Reservation until at least October 10th, with a possible extension of up to 15 days, depending on weather and other conditions. The BIA-funded helicopter will be staffed daily for 10 hours by tribal firefighters from various reservations through the nation. If a wildfire starts anywhere in Southern California, they will be dropped into the area to help battle the fire on the ground. CAL FIRE Battalion Chief John Francois praised the partnership with Viejas and the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
CAL FIRE San Diego Unit does appreciate the Bureau of Indian Affairs and particularly the Viejas Reservation and Viejas Fire Department for hosting these ships. It's not everywhere you can just put two helicopters and two complete flight crews and support that logistically. So we do appreciate our working relationship in San Diego. It's a great partnership with Bureau of Indian Affairs, Viejas Fire Department, and all the reservation departments. So CAL FIRE is truly appreciative of our partnership.
Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Gary McClintock, a famous saddle maker based in Descanso, has been injured in a motor vehicle accident. Now Tyndall's Horse and Mule School has announced a special one-day class with all proceeds donated to benefit Gary and his wife, Anne, in their time of need. The Trail Challenges Clinic will be held on November 29th at Descanso Feed and Hay. This class aims to help riders learn how to keep your horse or mule safe, calm, and confident in all situations when encountering challenges on the trail. The clinic will run from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on November 29th at Descanso Hay and Feed. For information on the cost or to register, call Sherry at 619-672-4504. You can also find details at eastcountymagazine.org in our People Power section. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ in Descanso, this is Leon Thompson. The county is violating constitutional rights of children and their parents by conducting intrusive medical exams on youngsters, Federal Judge Thomas Wellum has ruled. The UT San Diego reports the examinations have been routinely conducted on all children brought to the Polinsky Children's Center, the county's emergency shelter, by social workers. The tests include genital and anal exams or what amounts to strip searches without parental notification or consent. Back in 2013, CityBeat reported on the problem and indicated that 2,000 children a year are placed in the county center. The article documented past legal cases in which federal courts have imposed limits on intrusive medical exams of children. The suit was filed by parents of a one-year-old and a three-year-old child who were taken from their home by county social workers in 2011 after one of the children was reportedly injured at a daycare center. The family's doctors had examined the children and did not suspect abuse, but the children were removed by the county anyway. The young children underwent the intrusive examinations of their private areas, as well as drug tests and a skeletal exam on one of the children. Stephen and Joanna Swartwood sued the county. Their lawyer contends that the exams, which the county has conducted on all children entering the facility for the past 10 years, amounts to an illegal search for evidence against parents disguised as medical checks for diseases or other health issues. Parents do sign a consent form but are not told about the invasive nature of the exam, nor that medical treatment is generally not offered at the facility except in cases such as a contagious condition. Charles Wilson, executive director of Rady's Chadwick Center for Children and Families, has previously said that the purpose of the county's exam is to assure good medical health, adding that they're similar to a thorough medical examination in any good pediatric checkup, City Beat reported. But Judge Wellum agreed with parents' lawyers that these searches are investigatory in nature and violate children's protections against illegal searches. If the exams are halted, how might the county obtain proof of suspected abuse to assure that children who are being molested can be protected? The family's lawyers contend that instead of doing genital exams and other intrusive procedures on all children in the facility, the county should obtain a court order first if there is reasonable cause to suspect sexual abuse. No trial date has been set yet in the case. UT San Diego reports that the family's attorney, Donnie Cox, says the county has ignored prior federal court rulings. He aims to seek a temporary restraining order against the county to stop all exams at the Polinsky Children's Center, except those that are clearly medically necessary. East County Magazine has asked Supervisor Diane Jacob for comment on this story and will report her response once received. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
It's not often that firefighters arrive at a fire before anybody calls to report it. But that's what happened in La Mesa on Monday when firefighters from Heartland Fire and Rescue spotted smoke coming from the Stone Ridge Apartments on Lemon Avenue. Firefighters swiftly moved into action, knocking down the blaze and preventing it from spreading beyond two units that were totally destroyed. Six people were displaced, including two young children, and they're being cared for temporarily by the Red Cross. But with flammable eucalyptus trees and people at home in neighboring units, it could have been far worse, if not for the alertness and prompt actions of the firefighters. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Gary McClintock, a famous saddlemaker based in Descanso, has been injured in a motor vehicle accident. Now Tyndall's Horse and Mule School has announced a special one-day class with all proceeds donated to benefit Gary and his wife, Anne, in their time of need. The Trail Challenges Clinic will be held on November 29th at Descanso Feed and Hay. This class aims to help riders learn how to keep your horse or mule safe, calm, and confident in all situations when encountering challenges on the trail. The clinic will run from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on November 29th at Descanso Hay and Feed. For information on the cost or to register, call Sherry at 619-672-4504. You can also find details at eastcountymagazine.org in our People Power section. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, in Descanso, this is Leon Thompson. The county is violating constitutional rights of children and their parents by conducting intrusive medical exams on youngsters, Federal Judge Thomas Wellum has ruled. The UT San Diego reports the examinations have been routinely conducted on all children brought to the Polinsky Children's Center, the county's emergency shelter by social workers. The tests include genital and anal exams or what amounts to strip searches without parental notification or consent. Back in 2013, CityBeat reported on the problem and indicated that 2,000 children a year are placed in the county center. The article documented past legal cases in which federal courts have imposed limits on intrusive medical exams of children. The suit was filed by parents of a one-year-old and a three-year-old child who were taken from their home by county social workers in 2011 after one of the children was reportedly injured at a daycare center. The family's doctors had examined the children and did not suspect abuse, but the children were removed by the county anyway. The young children underwent the intrusive examinations of their private areas, as well as drug tests and a skeletal exam on one of the children. Stephen and Joanna Swartwood sued the county. Their lawyer contends that the exams, which the county has conducted on all children entering the facility for the past 10 years, amounts to an illegal search for evidence against parents disguised as medical checks for diseases or other health issues. Parents do sign a consent form but are not told about the invasive nature of the exam, nor that medical treatment is generally not offered at the facility except in cases such as a contagious condition. Charles Wilson, executive director of Rady's Chadwick Center for Children and Families, has previously said that the purpose of the county's exam is to assure good medical health, adding that they're similar to a thorough medical examination in any good pediatric checkup, CityBeat reported. But Judge Wellum agreed with parents' lawyers that these searches are investigatory in nature and violate children's protections against illegal searches. If the exams are halted, how might the county obtain proof of suspected abuse to assure that children who are being molested can be protected? The family's lawyers contend that instead of doing genital exams and other intrusive procedures on all children in the facility, the county should obtain a court order first if there is reasonable cause to suspect sexual abuse. No trial date has been set yet in the case. UT San Diego reports that the family's attorney, Donnie Cox, says the county has ignored prior federal court rulings. He aims to seek a temporary restraining order against the county to stop all exams at the Polinsky Children's Center, except those that are clearly medically necessary. East County Magazine has asked Supervisor Diane Jacob for comment on this story and will report her response once received. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
It's not often that firefighters arrive at a fire before anybody calls to report it. But that's what happened in La Mesa on Monday when firefighters from Heartland Fire and Rescue spotted smoke coming from the Stone Ridge Apartments on Lemon Avenue. Firefighters swiftly moved into action, knocking down the blaze and preventing it from spreading beyond two units that were totally destroyed. Six people were displaced, including two young children, and they're being cared for temporarily by the Red Cross. But with flammable eucalyptus trees and people at home in neighboring units, it could have been far worse, if not for the alertness and prompt actions of the firefighters. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Gary McClintock, a famous saddlemaker based in Descanso, has been injured in a motor vehicle accident. Now Tyndall's Horse and Mule School has announced a special one-day class with all proceeds donated to benefit Gary and his wife, Anne, in their time of need. The Trail Challenges Clinic will be held on November 29th at Descanso Feed and Hay. This class aims to help riders learn how to keep your horse or mule safe, calm, and confident in all situations when encountering challenges on the trail. The clinic will run from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on November 29th at Descanso Hay and Feed. For information on the cost or to register, call Sherry at 619-672-4504. You can also find details at eastcountymagazine.org in our People Power section. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, in Descanso, this is Leon Thompson. The county is violating constitutional rights of children and their parents by conducting intrusive medical exams on youngsters, Federal Judge Thomas Wellum has ruled. The UT San Diego reports the examinations have been routinely conducted on all children brought to the Polinsky Children's Center, the county's emergency shelter, by social workers. The tests include genital and anal exams, or what amounts to strip searches without parental notification or consent. Back in 2013, CityBeat reported on the problem and indicated that 2,000 children a year are placed in the county center. The article documented past legal cases in which federal courts have imposed limits on intrusive medical exams of children. The suit was filed by parents of a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old child who were taken from their home by county social workers in 2011 after one of the children was reportedly injured at a daycare center. The family's doctors had examined the children and did not suspect abuse, but the children were removed by the county anyway. The young children underwent the intrusive examinations of their private areas, as well as drug tests and a skeletal exam on one of the children. Stephen and Joanna Swartwood sued the county. Their lawyer contends that the exams, which the county has conducted on all children entering the facility for the past 10 years, amounts to an illegal search for evidence against parents disguised as medical checks for diseases or other health issues. Parents do sign a consent form but are not told about the invasive nature of the exam, nor that medical treatment is generally not offered at the facility except in cases such as a contagious condition. Charles Wilson, executive director of Rady's Chadwick Center for Children and Families, has previously said that the purpose of the county's exam is to assure good medical health, adding that they're similar to a thorough medical examination in any good pediatric checkup, CityBeat reported. But Judge Wellum agreed with parents' lawyers that these searches are investigatory in nature and violate children's protections against illegal searches. If the exams are halted, how might the county obtain proof of suspected abuse to assure that children who are being molested can be protected? The family's lawyers contend that instead of doing genital exams and other intrusive procedures on all children in the facility, the county should obtain a court order first if there is reasonable cause to suspect sexual abuse. No trial date has been set yet in the case. UT San Diego reports that the family's attorney, Donnie Cox, says the county has ignored prior federal court rulings. He aims to seek a temporary restraining order against the county to stop all exams at the Polinsky Children's Center, except those that are clearly medically necessary. East County Magazine has asked Supervisor Diane Jacob for comment on this story and will report her response once received. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
It's not often that firefighters arrive at a fire before anybody calls to report it. But that's what happened in La Mesa on Monday when firefighters from Heartland Fire and Rescue spotted smoke coming from the Stone Ridge Apartments on Lemon Avenue. Firefighters swiftly moved into action, knocking down the blaze and preventing it from spreading beyond two units that were totally destroyed. Six people were displaced, including two young children, and they're being cared for temporarily by the Red Cross. But with flammable eucalyptus trees and people at home in neighboring units, it could have been far worse, if not for the alertness and prompt actions of the firefighters. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Ed Barrena with an announcement regarding the results from the San Diego Press Club's 2014 Excellence in Journalism competition. Once again, East County Magazine will be bringing home multiple awards. Congratulations to our seven winners this year who represent East County Magazine's online news site and our radio show on KNSJ. The winners include our breaking news coverage team, Tom and Nadine Abbott, intern Jessica Richmond, who worked on several major investigative news stories, father and son Mark and Corey Clement, co-hosts of our Wildest Jobs in East County feature on our radio show, Leon Thompson, who documented his recovery from quintuple bypass surgery, and East County Magazine editor Miriam Raftery. We don't yet know how many awards we will receive, or all of the categories, since only the names of the winners have been announced thus far. The winning entries will be announced at the annual Press Club Awards ceremony on October 28th at Jacobs Center. East County Magazine has previously received 69 journalism awards since beginning our news publication in 2008.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. My very special guest today is Jerry Fazio. Jerry has been the executive director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the East County Foundation for 35 years. He's been a real fixture and a treasure in East County, and he's just announced his retirement. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's delightful to be here.
Now, the organization has changed a lot in 35 years. Bring us back to when you first joined Boys and Girls Club. What drew you to the organization, and how did you get involved?
Well, Miriam, it was a marriage made in heaven. In 1979, we had separate girls' club and boys' club back then, and the girls' club was looking for an executive director. They were broke, and really, really struggling to find someone who had come in, and I was unemployed and broke and looking for a nonprofit organization that I could hook up with. So it was a marriage made in heaven in 1979, and I came out to El Cajon, and we did some remarkable things in the following years. We fixed up an old facility on the corner of Madison and Mollison Avenue in El Cajon, started bringing in some great programs and a lot of girls, great community support. We built that board of directors pretty much from scratch to make it a very strong, very terrific organization with some state-of-the-art activities for these girls. And before we knew it, all of a sudden their brothers started coming to the girls' club. So even though we still called the Girls Club of East County, we still had boys coming through until 1990.
So is that when you started the separate boys club, or you united it into a boys and girls club?
Well, that's when we merged. And actually, the boys club had been around even longer than the girls club, mm-hmm. right down Madison Avenue in El Cajon in Wells Park. And so in 1990, there was a national energy to merge boys and girls clubs around the county, country rather. Mm-hmm. And that's when we merged our girls club and boys club. Then the question was going to be, what are we going to do with our two executive directors?
Ah, what happened?
So, well, the Boys Club executive director actually stayed on and ran the agency, ran the organization for a few years before he retired. And the job that they created for me was to be the foundation executive director and to start up an endowment fund and start working on some capital campaigns to expand the Boys and Girls Clubs.
Wonderful. And we're going to hear all about that in a moment. But first, I'd like to ask you if you can tell us some of the stories from your early days. Is there? What are some of the success stories in terms of what the organization really means for the kids, the difference that this is making in their lives?
These are low-income kids, and they continue to be kids from low-income families primarily that the Boys and Girls Clubs serve. So these are kids who would be home alone in apartments, or they'd be out on the street getting in trouble. And I remember back in the early Girls Club experience, some very, very tough kids. I mean, the assumption perhaps back then was that, well, girls aren't as tough as boys, and they can't get in anywhere near the kind of trouble. Yes, they can, and they did. And recently, as I've been kind of reflecting on the past, I remember one girl in particular named Helen who came up off the tough streets of Tijuana and came to our girls' club in El Cajon with hardly any English, but a very bad attitude. It wasn't too long before she became part of the organization. She understood that the girls' club was her club, and we taught her to speak English. We checked her homework when she brought it home. She had great successes and stayed with us for a long, long time. And up until just a few years ago, I'd still get letters from her, and she's doing just fine.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I should read, the mission of the Boys and Girls Clubs of East County is to inspire and enable all young people, especially those who need us most, to become responsible, caring, productive citizens.
Absolutely right. And the numbers have certainly grown since then, too. When Helen was coming in, those other girls were coming in the late 70s and early 80s, you know, we could count maybe 100 or 200 kids in membership back then. And now, the Boys and Girls Clubs of East County, with five facilities and the sixth one being planned for, serve about 3,000 kids a year.
Wow.
But all of that same...
So more than a tenfold growth.
Absolutely right. And it's still the same focus on these kids, though. We still guide them to become responsible and caring citizens.
So now you have facilities in El Cajon, Lakeside, Santee, and La Mesa, and where else?
Those are the communities that we're in right now. We have the two facilities in Wells Park in El Cajon. We have our big Conrad Prebys Boys and Girls Club facility in Santee. Those two facilities in El Cajon are also named for Conrad Prebys, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who also has the Student Center at San Diego State.
Absolutely.
A lot of famous buildings named after him.
Oh, absolutely right. But we were his first.
Ah.
And he still gives us credit. Every time he gives to one of these other major charities, he says, you know, I got my start in Santee with a $1 million gift for the Boys and Girls Clubs of East County. And,
there you go. Well, you know, they say that giving benefits the giver as much as the recipient.
Yeah, it's certainly true for Mr. Prebys. He's just been such a delight over the years, such a wonderful man to get to know, and his generosity and his
marvelous,
his good kind of sensibility, his Midwestern sensibility is terrific.
Well, you have been a very effective fundraiser for the organization. Maybe you can tell us a couple of the milestones, but certainly one of the most recent that we covered was the opening of the new La Mesa facility out there, big remodel, and now you're working to build a gymnasium with Bill Walton heading up the efforts out there. We've got some pretty stellar talent coming in to weigh in. What are some of the other milestones that you've reached?
Well, just in capital fundraising, of course, you know, I was just talking about the Santee campaign, which was $4.2 million in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And then we followed up with the capital campaign to rehab those two facilities in El Cajon. And this one in La Mesa is our biggest. This is $8.9 million capital campaign. So far, we've generated the first $5 million towards that. And if I have a small amount of regret about retirement, I kind of wish I had seen it all the way through.
Maybe you will. Maybe some listener will have a check for a couple million dollars and send it in. Who knows?
Wouldn't that be nice if by October 23rd we can get somebody with $4 million to close out that campaign?
There you go. You know, I should ask while we're on, but if people are interested in supporting the Boys and Girls Club with a donation or perhaps volunteering, where can they get more information?
Well, there's a couple of great online resources that they can go to. They can go to www.bgcec.org to learn more about the Boys and Girls Clubs. Mm-hmm. And if they're interested in the work that our foundation is doing and capital fundraising, like the La Mesa Capital Campaign, they can go to www.bgclegacy.org. And there they can get all sorts of great information about our La Mesa Capital Campaign, separate endowments and scholarships that we have to benefit the children as well.
Right.
And if they're just not going to get online, 619-440-1600, and there will be some very nice person there to kind of help them satisfy things that they want to do for the community.
Well, that's very good to know. Yeah. I'm sure that other nonprofits out there are probably very envious of the Boys and Girls Club having somebody of your talents at the helm doing such a magnificent job of fundraising. What are some of the secrets? Are there some tips you can give to other organizations that might be struggling in this economy, worthy nonprofits that don't have a Jerry Fazio at the helm?
Well, one of the things that I always keep saying is don't let bad news keep you down and disregard it if at all possible. There's never really a perfect time to do your fundraising, so that means you should do it all the time. If you've got a good client base, if you've got a good mission, then you need to keep communicating effectively to your donors and your prospective donors. And my hero in fundraising was a young woman, Marquita Andrews, who sold in the late 70s, and I think her record still stands, for selling more Girl Scout cookies than anyone ever had. And she lived in the Cabrini Green Projects on the south side of Chicago.
The slums.
Absolutely
projects,
right.
Yeah.
And when Marquita was asked, how do you sell all those Girl Scout cookies? She said, I just look them in the eye and tell them how good those cookies are. And we've done that certainly during my 35 mm-hmm. years at the Boys and Girls Club. We just keep looking our donors and our prospective donors in the eye and tell them how important those programs are and how valuable they are for these children and for their families and for the overall community. So don't be shy and keep talking about your mission. You'll do just fine.
I'm sure that the Boys and Girls Club is certainly going to miss you, Jerry. Are you stepping out completely, or are you still going to be keeping a finger in the pie, so to speak?
Just a little finger in the pie. Boys and Girls Clubs of East County Foundation, like any other nonprofit, any other charity, still needs to do some administrative work, make sure your tax filings are done accurately and on time, and your audits, and that your investments are being made appropriately. So the Board of Directors, thank you, dear Board of Directors, has given me a consultant contract to spend just a limited number of hours every month to kind of make sure that everything is still lined up and in place. So they haven't lost me altogether, and I'm delighted that I'll still be able to come back maybe a couple of hours a week just to visit old friends at the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You've certainly also overcome your own share of hardships in life. You lost your first wife to colon cancer, and then I understand that you've successfully overcome your battle with it. You look great.
Thank you.
But how does that kind of an experience impact you? Does that change your outlook on life or your attitude toward things as far as your nonprofit work?
It certainly does. And, you know, Nancy, my first wife, who worked up until the day before she went into hospice care. She was a special education teacher.
Amazing person.
And people would talk to her about her strength, and she would say, God's not done with me yet. And I've used those words a lot myself ever since I was diagnosed a year after Nancy passed away, that God's not done with me yet. So it does shape you enormously. And the importance of living one day at a time, of making the most out of every single day, has additional significance. Miriam, I've got to tell you about one other person.
Okay.
Which is my current wife, Melissa, who married me 2 years after Dancy passed away. And Melissa has been absolutely the best person, the most gorgeous girl ever to come out of Poway, California, who took care of me as grieving widower, who took care of me as cancer patient. And even during all this rumination about will I retire, should I retire, and under what circumstances do I retire, she's been there to give me strength and love. And so I have to make sure that I mention my dear Melissa in all this too, because I wouldn't be here for sure without her.
Well, that's marvelous. Yeah. Well, we certainly wish you well in your retirement. Do you have any big plans ahead, or what lies in store for you in the future?
I'm going to work on my health. Cancer-free doesn't mean completely healthy, and so I've got some issues that I'm still going to work with, blood pressure, diabetes, et cetera, and so I want to become a healthy guy, a grandfather, and I'm going to relax and get caught up on my reading and my photography and my cooking, and thank God for every single day.
Wonderful. Well, you've certainly earned some peace and quiet, Jerry, and we certainly wish you all the best in your retirement. And we thank you very much for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community. This is Miriam Raftery with today's Green Scene Report for the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ. People who live near wind turbines have long complained about ear pain and pressure, dizziness, and hearing loss. This includes some neighbors of wind turbines in San Diego's East County and neighboring Imperial County. Now, a scientific study offers an explanation of why this can occur. The scientists studied the effects of low-frequency noise on 21 healthy people ages 18 to 28. After exposure to low-frequency sound for just 90 seconds, 17 of the 21 participants had oscillations and measurable changes in the cochlear portion of the ear, which is essential for both hearing and balance. The inner ears of people were, quote, drastically, unquote, altered after exposure to low-frequency noise, according to the study, and living close to wind turbines may lead to severe hearing damage or even deafness. Those are the findings of scientists from the University of Munich, Germany, who conducted the study, which was published in the Royal Society's Open Science Journal on October 1st. Dr. Marcus Drexel, one of the authors of the report, said the study might help to explain some of the symptoms that people who live near wind turbines report, such as sleep disturbance, hearing problems, and high blood pressure, the London Telegraph reports. Dr. Drexel added that scientists don't yet know what happens to people living near wind facilities who are exposed to low-frequency sounds for long periods of time. Local residents living near wind turbines have complained to elected and regulatory officials about health symptoms they believe are caused by the wind turbines, but thus far, their complaints have fallen on deaf ears. With more industrial-scale wind turbines proposed in East County and a massive new wind project currently under construction just over the border in the Tecate area, it remains to be seen when or if officials will hear such concerns or take action to protect the health of those living near existing or proposed wind energy projects.
I'm John Mattis, investigative guide, host of Scammers, Schemers, and Swindlers, shining a light
and shady deals all around us.
John Mattis has won 7 Emmy Awards, a Golden Mike, and the Edward R. Murrow Award for Exposing Fraud and Corruption. Scammers, Schemers, and Swindlers is produced by the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso.
This is Ed Barena, guest hosting Scammers, Schemers, and Swindlers on the East County Magazine Show. Residents in El Cajon and City Heights have been approached by representatives of a company called Spark Energy, claiming to be selling a discount natural gas service plan. "This is a scam," said Chris Williams, who posted a warning about the company in an email to members of the San Diego Refugee Forum. Williams, whose clients are among the victims, also said, quote, "Unfortunately, quite a few people seem to have signed up already," unquote. Williams also provided a link to Yelp where the company has a string of negative reviews. People who signed up for Spark Energy report that the Texas-based company touted low rates but then gouged customers with high utility bills, often double or more what customers had paid before signing up. The company has also apparently ignored repeated requests from people trying to cancel the service.
The insurance industry is funding a $37 million TV and radio ad campaign attacking Proposition 45 that would stop health insurance rates from going up in California unless insurance companies can first convince the state insurance commissioner that a rate hike is really necessary. In California, the insurance commissioner already has the power to regulate proposed rate hikes in the auto and home insurance industry. Prop 45 would expand that to include health insurance as well. Consumer Watchdog is now warning that the industry funding is hidden in a deceptive advertising and marketing campaign waged by surrogates who are paid for by the health insurance companies. California Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones is also warning consumers about what he calls deceptive and false TV and radio commercials to mislead voters about Proposition 45. 35 states have already passed measures similar to Prop 45. According to Consumer Watchdog and California's insurance commissioner, insurance rates in those states that require oversight of proposed rate hikes have lower insurance rates for consumers than states that don't. The deceptive claim that Prop 45 would give one politician power to override a commission on insurance rate decisions is also false. The commission is never named in the ads, and the claim is an outright whopper. There is no independent commission which can regulate excessive health insurance rate hikes in California, where insurance rates have skyrocketed 185% in the last decade. Now, no one has the authority to regulate excessive health insurance rate hikes in California, not the federal government and not the state government either. Jones says that Prop 45 is needed to fix that hole in health care reform. He adds, if the health insurers are implying that the independent commission has covered California, which oversees the health care exchanges, that's simply not true. Covered California's board is appointed by politicians who accept donations from insurance companies. By contrast, the insurance commissioner is elected by the people, and since 2002, no California insurance commissioner has taken any donations from the insurance industry. Prop 45 would give the insurance commissioner only one new power, the power to make sure that your health insurance rates are not excessive. California law requires that ads disclose the sponsor's industry, but the insurance industry's ads appear to violate that requirement. In addition, the ads state that doctors and nurses support the No on 45 campaign, when people depicted as doctors and nurses in the ads are actually actors. In addition to misleading the public through its advertising, the health insurance companies have hired paid surrogates, as spokespeople, Consumers Watchdog says. For example, the California Republican Party's opposition to Prop 45 was announced just 2 weeks after it received a $15,000 donation from the health insurance industry's No on Prop 45 committee, which is deceptively called Californians Against Higher Healthcare Costs. Now, although the California Democratic Party supports Prop 45, the insurance industry's No on 45 campaign hired paid Democratic Party representatives in a further effort to deceive consumers, Consumer Watchdog reveals. These paid spokespeople include the California Democratic Party's former executive director, Kathy Bowler, whose consulting company took $100,000 from the insurance industry's anti-Prop 45 campaign. Jamie Court is president of Consumers Watchdog, and he says the health insurance companies are hiding their bankrolling of the No on Prop 45 effort because if voters find out,
They will recognize that Prop 45, if approved, will, quote, stop rip-offs of policyholders, unquote. Consumers Watchdog says that by implying that consumers have to make a choice between Covered California and Prop 45, the ads falsely suggest that passage of Prop 45 would lead to shutting down California's new health benefit exchange. It doesn't. Further, by making insurers justify their rate hikes and rejecting excessive increases, Covered California's negotiating ability would only be strengthened, according to Consumers Watchdog. In states that do let state agencies regulate rate hikes, the rates have improved. Rate regulation has also helped health benefit exchanges created under the Affordable Care Act in Oregon, Maryland, and New York by lowering rates that these exchanges were able to negotiate with insurers. The TV ads also say that Covered California rejects plans that are too expensive. That's also not accurate. While Covered California does try to negotiate with insurers, it has no power to reject the unreasonable rate hikes. In California, only four insurance companies control 94% of the exchange market. Covered California cannot exclude a plan, even though it technically has the power to do so, because that would reduce the number of Californians with access to health coverage. Prop 45 would allow the insurance commissioner to regulate rates on behalf of consumers for all insurance companies in California, and that includes the ones in the healthcare exchanges. So if you think your insurance premiums are too high, whether you have private health insurance or a plan under California's new healthcare exchange, Prop 45 would give the insurance commissioner the power to tell insurance companies no when they propose unreasonable predatory rate hikes. Perhaps it's no wonder the insurance industry is opposed to Prop 45 and trying hard to hide the truth about its backing of the No on Prop 45 campaign. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
It's summertime and the living is easy out here at the Hakumba Hot Springs Centennial Celebration, where we've got live blues music, pumpkins for sale, vendors, vintage vehicles, a caravan through time, Wild West reenactors, and much, much more to celebrate 100 years of colorful history in Hakumba Hot Springs. Now we're here with Danielle Cook, who is the organizer of Hakumba Hot Springs Centennial Celebration, which actually has been a year of festivals and events. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us, what are you looking forward to now that your first 100 years in this wonderful town have passed? What's coming up for the next 100 years that you're planning or hoping to see happen here?
Well, first of all, we haven't concluded our celebration. We have one more festival coming up, and that's going to be on Saturday, December the 6th. It's going to be quite exciting because we're celebrating our heritage with Mexico and our sister city, Jacame, which is right across the border.
Yes.
And this particular festival will be a Feliz Navidad festival, and it will have mariachi band. We're going to have piñatas. We're going to have a tumbleweed Christmas tree, and we're going to have a contest for different clubs in town to build tumbleweed snowmen. So it's going to be pretty fun and exciting, and we expect a lot of people to attend that as well.
That sounds great.
It's been I haven't been around, obviously, for the first 100 years, but I've been here for a little over five, and it's exciting to see what's going on with the community of Hakumba. There's a new sense of revitalization. A lot of people have pulled together to donate their time and their money to make our community safer, more economically viable, and more vibrant. As you probably have noticed, we have new public art pieces throughout town.
Yes.
Our Chinese castle has been refurbished, and although it's privately owned, there's several times during the year that we open it up for tours, such as today. And basically what we're trying to do is to rebrand our town. We want to be seen as a cross between Taos, New Mexico, and Sedona.
So an arts center.
Not just an arts center, but a spiritual center as well. We're surrounded by mountains that the Kumeyaay natives considered spiritual. And we have a lake, which we believe is a vortex area with a power source. People have told me when they've meditated by the lake, walked in the morning and seen all the bird life, it gives them a sense of well-being and calm and energy at the same time. And, of course, we have the Healing Waters, which is a real plus for our community.
Right, and the spa that just recently reopened
the
after the remodel.
The spa has recently reopened, and I'm glad to say that the swimming pools are still unpolluted by chemicals. They're totally free of nothing but the pure mineral water as it comes up. And it's very sulfur heavy, so it's very, we call it healing.
Very good.
If you have arthritis or anything like that.
I'm going to have to go take a dip.
Yeah, people just like to soak. You meet people from all around. You never know who you're going to meet there.
Well, it's wonderful to see that history is still being made in the town of Pacumba Hot Springs.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County features Art in the Park, a Vintner's Harvest Festival, a Fair Trade Holiday Sale, and the Pumpkin Express, complete with a haunted train, among other attractions.
Plus, we'll have previews of some big events coming up later this month, from an Enchanted Garden Gala to the Borrego Days Desert Festival and Hunt Fest on Main Street.
So stay tuned for all of these events and more from East County Magazine. Artworks by over 43 award-winning artists depicting nature will be on display at Mission Trails Regional Park Foundation's annual Art in the Park event on Saturday, October 11, from 6 to 9 p.m., including many works for sale. Art aficionados can also savor craft beers and premium wines, as well as appetizers, Italian ice, and chocolates. In addition, guests can enjoy San Diego Native American flute music in Circa and Muse's vibrational tones, as well as astronomy viewing with telescopes provided by the San Diego Astronomy Association. For more information on tickets and details, visit mtrp.org.
It's all aboard the Pumpkin Express at the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum in Campo. The 10th annual Halloween seasonal rides take place Saturday and Sunday from October 11th through October 26th, with trains departing three times daily. Ride the rails to the Great Pumpkin Patch, which is indoors and open regardless of the weather. Children and their parents will enjoy the one-hour train ride and then tour the haunted train, where each child gets to pick out his or her own pumpkin and decorate it inside a display building. Advance reservations are required for this popular event. For ticket prices, reservations, and directions to the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum, visit psrm.org.
You're invited to join the East County Vintners Wine Group for the second annual Mountain Empire Country Harvest Celebration on Saturday, October 11th from 12 noon to sundown. The festivities take place at the Jim and Janet Wright Ranch and Vineyard in scenic Potrero. The festivities include a smoky barbecue with all the trimmings, wine samplings by local vineyards and wineries, plus a silent auction and door prizes. RSVPs and tickets are required. For tickets and reservations, contact CountryHarvest2014@gmail.com.
The Solar Optimists are holding a Bunko Bash in Lemon Grove on Saturday, October 11th from 1 to 4 at St. John of the Cross Social Hall. Proceeds benefit projects that help women and children in the community. The event includes Bunko, prizes, and snacks. For tickets, send an email to SolarOptimistGloria@gmail.com.
If you want to get an early start on your holiday shopping, Fair Trade La Mesa will host a holiday sale on Sunday, October 12th. This all-day event at St. Martin of Tours Parish Hall, 7710 El Cajon Boulevard, will feature handmade artisan crafts, jewelry, coffee, and more. Fair Trade products help provide sustainable production and living wages for craftspeople around the world. Now, for a preview of coming attractions. The Julian Open Studio and Galleries Tour will be held on Saturday, October 18th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Visit the private studios of artists in the backcountry of San Diego on the self-guided tour. Meet and talk with the artists while enjoying their artwork. Maps and tickets are available at the Julian Town Hall on Main Street in the heart of the historic Gold Rush era town.
an Enchanted Garden Gala to benefit the Water Conservation Garden at Cuyamaca College will be held on October 18th from 6 till 10 p.m. Performance artists will entertain guests amidst illuminated gardens, and a gourmet seated dinner will be followed by a program hosted by NBC TV Channel 7 meteorologist Dagmar Midcap. The program benefits the garden's educational programs and a new children's garden. For more information, visit thegarden.org.
The Shirt House Bluegrass Band will perform a free concert at the El Cajon Library on Saturday, October 18th at 2 p.m. The concert is presented by the San Diego Bluegrass Society and will feature folk, rock, gospel, and bluegrass music.
The third annual Haunt Fest on Main Street will provide thrills for all ages on Friday, October 24th from 5 until 10 p.m. in downtown El Cajon. The annual family-friendly event features live music on two stages by Mighty Untouchables, Fabulous Pelicans, and Ryan Hiller. A costume contest will be held on the Main Street stage. There will also be expanded carnival rides and game area in Rhea Street, a car display, a terror truck, candy trails, kids zone with outdoor movies, a balloon artist and face painting, performances by TNT dancers, Rubio's Performing Arts Studio, and St. Madeline Sophie Center. Other activities include crafts and game booths, a magic show, inflatable jumpers for kids, a pumpkin patch, and more. For information, visit HauntFestOnMain.com.
The Borrego Days Desert Festival takes place October 24th through the 26th in Borrego Springs as the community welcomes snowbirds to the desert warmth in the start of the fall season. Activities include a showing of the film Borrego Star Dance featuring time-lapse video of star formations, a parade complete with floats, bands, dancers, and equestrians, a flyover, live entertainment on the main stage, and a car show. Kids will enjoy a carnival fun zone with inflatable water slides and more. Visitors can also shop at arts and craft vendors, savor foods including gourmet food truck items, beer, and a beverage garden. For more information, visit BorregoSpringsChamber.com/Borrego Days.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events sections online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County Show on KNSJ, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.